Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, folks, stand by for Jody Hamilton. But first, here's a brief word about Home Title Lock. Deborah's home was stolen. I don't mean thieves stole stuff. I mean, scammers literally stole her home. The FBI calls home title theft one of the fastest growing white collar crimes. This story is why you need Home Title Lock. Deborah says criminals found her title online and filed fraudulent documents claiming they owned it. Wait, it gets worse. Deborah also says she was evicted from her home and $85,000 in equity was gone. Nobody believes you can get your home stolen this easily. Folks, this is why you need to get Home Title Lock, because no insurance or bank protects your home from title theft. First things first, go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim and don't know it. Then sign up to help protect the legal title to your home so you don't end up like Deborah. And to get you started, I got you 60 risk-free days of protection. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines. They don't read them because they're all junk. And, I don't mean to put anybody's job down. When I hear rumors flying around, I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out. Oh, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music. When I got sick here in the hotel, I got sick here that one night. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform. From three different sources, I heard I was strung out on heroin. But all across this town, we're strung out. If I find or hear the individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch. That is dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father, to my friends, my doctor, to everybody in my relationship with you, my relationship with up here on the stage. It is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roots. Thank you very much.
Bob Zeska. We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Zeska Show.
That was our president right there, Fat Elvis, President of the United States. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 13, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com, the greatest soap ever. Go there, buy lots of soap. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 1,120 of the Trump crisis, 264 days until the 2020 presidential election. And Jody, what?
Hello.
We have a bit of an issue. I'm going to take the music down because we cannot find T-Rex David Ferguson. He's nowhere to be found. I'm not joking around about this. Maybe by the time you hear the show, he'll be back and we will have found him. But 1:30 rolled around, 1:45 rolled around, 2 o'clock rolled around. I sent a couple of texts to him. I sent a DM to him. I also sent a DM to his brother. I have not heard back from anyone. And right. it's very, very unusual that David would just not show up and then not let us know that he wasn't going to be able to show up. Suffice to say, given what happened almost 3 years ago, I start to worry. It may be fine. I mean, he may be absolutely fine. He may just be sick. He's maybe in bed or lost his phone, or there are all kinds of rational, reasonable explanations before absolutely. You jump to something's wrong with David. But I, of course, get kind of irrational in cases like this. I'm going to
try. Well, it's understandable. It's an understandable reaction.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sorry to make you wait as we were it's trying okay. to track him down. Plus, I had soundboard issues. My soundboard laptop is seizing up. It's blowing a gasket. I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. But what it does is starts playing a sound and then it loops through like a 1 second clip of that sound. So I don't know what that issue is. Everything's going wrong, and I'm just going to blame Trump for everything. How about that? so I'm going to try to call David here and see if we can get him on the phone. So I've just got my cell phone held up to the microphone and see if we can track him down. I'm just going to give it one more shot to see if we can link up with him.
Oh.
So, and I'm not... blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Bleeping out his phone number. All right. No, we can't find him. This is real. This is what's going on with us right now. And so, you know, we're going to get into all the Trump shit here in just a second. But in the meantime, we have to kind of track down our friend here. Okay. Yeah. So as we wait for David, and we're going to try to call him again later in the show to see if we can track him down. Meantime, we've got the meme of the day, Jody, which is appropriate for this music. Which I'm so glad the soundboard's working now so I can play that music.
Yay.
The meme of the day is Carnival Barking Clown. Mike Bloomberg has called Donald Trump to his face a carnival barking clown. But that's in response to Trump's, you know, mini Mike tweet. You know, the guy who looks like just a bag of bloated lard is going around talking about other people's looks. He said here, Mini Mike is a 5'4" mess of dead energy who does not want to be on the debate stage with these professional politicians. No boxes, please. Ha, ha, ha. That's funny. He hates crazy Bernie and will, with enough money, possibly stop him. Bernie's people will go nuts. So he loves all of this. Is that your phone?
Yes, it's okay. The machine picked up.
Okay. I get it. I just immediately heard the phone. I was like, is that David?
I don't think he has my personal phone number. I gave it to him.
It would be weird of all places for him to call you at home to let you know that he was running late and just not bother to text me or either right. of us in that case.
Right.
And then so Mike Bloomberg responds, we know many of the same people in New York. Behind your back, they laugh at you and call you a carnival barking clown. They know you inherited a fortune and squandered it with stupid deals and incompetence. I have the record and the resources to defeat you, and I will. Okay, you know, Mike Bloomberg's various flaws aside, and if you go onto Twitter right now, you can read about some of those flaws, some of the things he's being attacked for, some rightfully. All of that aside, this is how the Democrats need to go after Trump. They need to tweak him. They need to jab him. They need to expose the fact that everything around Donald Trump, I mean, obviously there's lots of corruption and crime going on, but at the same time, Trump personally is just a little wimp. He's a little whiny baby. And so all the crap that surrounds Donald Trump, his tweets and his rallies and his little press gaggles in the Oval Office, that is all like a shell that he's putting around himself, a shell of bluster to obscure the fact that he is just a whiny diaper baby, an entitled old man who's a little bit fucked in the head right now and getting worse by the day. But this is kind of all that aside, this is a very scary time. And I don't mean to be an alarmist, but I have been a little bit alarmed. And I've been writing about it. I wrote something for the Banter newsletter, thebanter.substack.com today. Also, you can find it on our Patreon page about where we are right now with Donald Trump's descent into dictatorship. And I really believe that he is now America's first dictator. At the very least, we can easily and justifiably refer to him as a tyrant. I mean, that's... I don't know that he's gone full-on fascist yet. I mean, that's a very specific word about a very specific type of governing. But with Trump, he's certainly a tyrant. He's certainly now abusing his office. He's certainly now weaponized the Department of Justice as his personal security force. At the very least, the Attorney General. So, but thank God, we're going to get into all that here in just a second, too. But thank God John Kelly has finally stepped up to a microphone and said some things about what he witnessed in the White House. He just needs to do this a little more often. And more of the people who have surrounded Donald Trump and who have witnessed these things and know that what he is doing is damaging and dangerous, they also have to step up too. Mm-hmm. It's now time for federal government patriots to step up and say what they need to say now before it's too late. Because what we're seeing now, too, on top of everything else, is, you know, sort of Donald Trump's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We're going to go through, we're going to weed out all of the disloyalists and get rid of all of them. We saw that with Vindman. We saw that with Gordon Sondland, even though Gordon Sondland gave Trump, what, $1 million? That didn't even help to protect Gordon Sondland. But now we've got John Kelly, former Chief of Staff John Kelly, and former DHS Secretary John Kelly. And also the name, strangely enough, the name of my childhood pediatrician. I'm not making that up. My childhood pediatrician was named John Kelly, Dr. Kelly. We'd always hate to have to go to visit Dr. Kelly because there was always shots and throat cultures involved for some reason. And so, so whenever I see John Kelly, I get a little triggered. Like I go right back to when I was like 6 years old and had to go for an annual physical before I go back to grade school or whatever. So John Kelly, in case you haven't read the piece about this in The Atlantic, John Kelly said, quote, he will never give his nuclear weapons up. He said this about Kim Jong-un and Trump's attempt to try to make a deal with North Korea. Again, President Trump tried. That's one way to put it, but it didn't work. I'm an optimist most of the time, but I'm also a realist. And I never did think Kim would do anything other than play us for a while. And he did that fairly effectively. So there you go. John Kelly basically saying Donald Trump has been played. At Times Wednesday, Kelly sounded like the anti-Trump. He said he did not believe the press is, quote, the enemy of the people. And he sharply criticized Russian President Vladimir Putin, whom Trump had steadfastly courted. Kelly described Putin as someone who is, quote, not necessarily a rational actor. Putin sits atop, quote, a society in collapse, yet is intent on restoring, quote, the glory days of the Soviet Union, he said. So it's interesting to hear this directly from someone who is right next to Donald Trump through most of these or many of these meetings with Vladimir Putin. You know, just a guy who knows he's on the inside. He knows what's going on. And he understands that Vladimir Putin, Trump's best friend, is trying to restore the might, both militarily, certainly of in terms of all of the psyops and agitprop and all the rest of the things, these cyber attacks and everything. This is all meant to be sort of the modern version of a military expansion to restore that power base of the Soviet Union. Plus, he also said in response to questions from the audience, Kelly faulted Trump for intervening in the case of Eddie Gallagher, the Navy SEAL. Oh, my God. Here, I got David on the phone here. The phone is ringing. David? David?
I'm so sorry.
Are you okay?
I am absolutely fine. I had insomnia last night, and I fell asleep at like 7 a.m., and I can't believe I'm just now waking up.
Oh my God. You have no idea how relieved I am.
I am so embarrassed. Oh, my God. And you guys are halfway into the show, aren't you?
Not really. We're only about 10 minutes in because I had a soundboard problem, like always. And then we tried to call you. We tried to call you on the show and we couldn't get you. Do you want to bail out of the show today or do you want to try to hook up on?
Can you give me 5 minutes to grab a cup of coffee?
Yes, I can.
I'll be right there. I'm so sorry. Jody, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm so sorry for wasting you guys' time. I'm so sorry. I'll be right there.
Okay. All right. Great. Great.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Thank God. Oh,
thank
my
God. He's okay. Praise Jesus.
Yes. Praise Jesus. Oh, man. Okay. Now. I'm doing my Lamaze exercises in order to recover from that stress. Woo! Okay. All right. Everything is fine now.
Just so you know, by the way,
yeah.
The Senate just passed the Iran War Powers Resolution.
Oh, great. What was the vote? You know, does it say?
Hold, please. Your call is important.
Not a veto-proof majority.
55-45, so it's close.
Well, yeah, damn close to a veto-proof majority, but not quite.
If he vetoes it, the other five might just go, fuck you.
That's true. I hope that happens, because he is going to veto this.
He will.
Tom Cotton tried to give him an escape hatch with an amendment, but the escape hatch failed. It got voted down. So I hope, fingers crossed.
Actually, no, they need 67 votes. So that's 12 people that need to come in my own.
That's right. Shit. Okay. Well, you know, you win some, you lose some. We found David, but it looks like Donald Trump's going to veto the War Powers Act. God damn it. All right.
God damn it.
Well, at least we got some really important news there, too. Okay, so I'm going to go back to John Kelly as we await David to join us here. Responding to questions from the audience, Kelly faulted Trump for intervening in the case of Eddie Gallagher, a Navy SEAL who was convicted last year of posing with the corpse of an Islamic State fighter, of an ISIS fighter. Trump reversed a Navy decision to oust Gallagher in a chain of events that led to the resignation of Navy Secretary Richard Spencer. And this is what John Kelly said about that. The idea that the commander-in-chief intervened there, in my opinion, was exactly the wrong thing to do. Oh, them fighting words. Jeez, he's really throwing down. Actually, I'm being sarcastic. The audience then applauded to that remark. And then when a woman in the crowd said that Trump had, quote, elevated Gallagher, Kelly looked out at the crowd. Yep, he said. So I'll take, you know what? I'll take it. It's not the harshest of language that can be used against America's first dictator, the carnival barking clown in the White House. But, you know, we got to take what we can get. And I hope this starts again, another avalanche like what we saw with the testimony during the impeachment proceeding. Mm-hmm. I hope this starts an avalanche, Jody, of federal government employees, people maybe working in the White House. And I think Nicole Wallace warned that if you start seeing calls coming from inside the House, if you start seeing White House people, whether former or current, stepping out in front of a microphone, then you kind of know that avalanche may actually start to occur.
It could. I mean, the concern is there's a book called They Thought They Were Free about the Germans during Nazi Germany.
Oh, yeah.
And it was ordinary Germans, nobody that joined the party, nobody that was drafted. These are just people that were living their day-to-day life, you know, and survived the war.
Yeah.
And how, had he started gassing people the minute he got in, people would have freaked out. It was a slow incremental problem. And a lot of people are like, if I speak out, I could lose my job. I could, and then I lose everything. So these four prosecutors that had their one completely resigning and the other three just getting off the case is amazing. But how many other federal employees are there that would do that if they could?
Yeah, I know. I hope,
because they're worried. I mean, you look at Marie Yovanovitch, who got a standing ovation the other day with normal citizens.
Yep.
But I mean, her life is Leslie Peter Strzok and his lady friend,
Lisa Page. Yeah.
You know, there's all these people that have been doing the Vindman brothers. It's insane.
Yep. Yep.
And these people have the ability to walk away, but most, you know, rank and file federal workers don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at what they would have to face if they did walk away. Mm-hmm. First of all, they're out of work. And when you leave a government position, that is like, you know, I'm kind of exaggerating a little bit when I say this, but that's like walking away from a pot of gold. If you have a government position, especially a government position in which you have a security clearance, you are set up for life in the federal government. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about life, because the federal government, the United States government, is still one of the few places in this country where you get a hell of a fucking pension plan for after you retire. Healthcare, a monthly paycheck, all of it. And that's for a lifetime of public service, where maybe you're not paid as much as you would be paid if you were in the private sector. But they kind of set you up. And, you know, like my dad, for example, is one of those people who, you know, spent his entire adult life working for the federal government, and he was able to retire at a certain point with a nice, significant pension. Plus, you get the job. Once you're there, you have job security. Unless you're an absolute freak dog and you're doing everything wrong, you've got job security. Or unless you cross Donald Trump. If you piss off Donald Trump, then everything's off the table, regardless of whether you're a political appointee or a government servant. And then you add into the mix the fact that all of the red hats then pile in on top of you.
Right.
And that leads us to Donald Trump's reply to John Kelly on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He said here, when I terminated John Kelly, which I couldn't do fast enough, he knew full well that he was way over his head. Being chief of staff just wasn't for him. He came in with a bang, went out with a whimper, but like so many exes, he misses the action and just can't keep his mouth shut, which he eventually has a military and legal obligation to do. His incredible wife, Karen, who I have a lot of respect for, once pulled me aside and said strongly that John respects you greatly. When we are no longer here, he will only speak well of you. And then Trump said, wrong,
wrong,
wrong. He ended
wrong.
Ended that like that.
Wrong.
And so, make no mistake here, the second part, Jody, of this tweet thread here, this two-part tweet thread in which he brings up Karen Kelly, this is a threat. This is a threat against John Kelly. Bringing in the wife, even though it is a compliment, shines a gigantic red hat spotlight directly down onto Karen Kelly. And so now you can bet, and you think the 4chan people have any restraint whatsoever when it comes to going after the relative of an enemy of Donald Trump? No fucking way. I think right now this is a move to intimidate John Kelly. This is a move to silence John Kelly. But more than anything else, it was a move to punish John Kelly, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. And I mean, the thing is, I mean, Adam Schiff getting death threats and being doxxed. I mean, that's the other thing that John Kelly and his wife now have to worry about, along with and those four prosecutors and the woman that was going to be the head of the DOD's accountant or something.
Yeah.
She also came forward. She's not getting the promotion. I mean, there's all sorts of things. She's happy that she's not, you know, that well known, I'm sure. Because she came forward with some stuff in those OMB emails, and that's why she's not getting the promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's this is why a lot of people aren't coming forward. Perhaps more will.
Hi, kids.
Oh, hi, David.
There he is. Oh my God! Yay! Thank God.
I'm so sorry.
Can I do this now? I'm going to do this now. Okay.
Still not extinct, folks.
Now we can start. All right, you're a little bit loud. I'm trying to adjust here on the fly, but
let me turn back my gain. I've got it up high because I was recording.
Okay. Oh man, so, I'm so relieved. Okay, great.
This is the sound of me taking all the medications I have to take every morning. I mean, really, this is like freshly out of bed.
Oh man. Oh, that's so great.
Or not so fresh, as the case may be.
I was doing after we hung up with you earlier. I started doing my Lamaze breathing because I had to.
Restore really my blood pressure
to normal. Well, you know, with me, I worry. We're coming up on 3 years after losing Chez, and so you being gay, Chez, of course, the timing was getting like it's freaking me out. And by the way, while you're taking your medication,
more Doogie Howser, yay.
Hey, listen, I have OCD. Every time we mention doctors or medicine in some way, we have to go to that music. Sorry. I know. I'm weird. So as we were saying, Jody, with regard to these federal employees and so on, meanwhile, as Donald Trump is purging the government, basically what Steve Bannon threatened to do, which is to deconstruct the administrative state. That's what Donald Trump is up to right now. And while all of this is happening, the rats who have already left the White House are somehow jumping back onto the sinking ship. So Hope Hicks has been rehired. Now,
what is up with that?
Now that the coast is clear, she was demoted from communications director and made Jared Kushner's assistant. That's the job that she's going to be doing now.
Oh, my God. They're so fucking.
I mean, my God, she was like, I don't know, third on the ladder below the president in the White House. I mean, communications director is a big fucking deal. And now she's been demoted to be Jared Kushner's assistant. So I guess Hope Hicks is going to be getting Jared Kushner coffee every morning. So I guess
he does have the entire Mideast in his portfolio, not to mention the Space Force and the modernization of the workforce. So, I mean, he could probably use an extra pair of hands.
Yeah, he's super busy, right? And also, on top of all of that, Reince Priebus, Cantina alien Reince Priebus, and Sean Spicer have been rehired to join the President's Commission on White House Fellowships. And
Oh my God.
I assure you, that's not going to be the only thing they're doing inside the White House. Donald Trump needed to make a role for them. So, I was just going to put you on that weird commission that I don't give a shit about. And you can do that, and we can say that that's what you're doing, but you're not going to be doing that. You're going to be doing what you used to do. But it's just, it's so bizarre that these people are now jumping back onto...
Were safe. They were clear. What were they? What are they thinking?
Yeah, they had already gone clear. They already abandoned the new awful form of Scientology, the latest cult to come along to indoctrinate people. And now they're going back in. It's like they're rejoining Scientology after successfully escaping. But
it's weird.
This is going to be like a Heaven's Gate thing, you know?
Could be.
All like coming back to the cult now, and they're all going to drink their Kool-Aid and eat the Jell-O and go to Meet the Comet.
Didn't all the Heaven's Gate people castrate themselves? What happened?
Chemically.
Did they?
I'm not sure.
Some of them did it surgically. The leader did it surgically, but most of them were just taking a cocktail of drugs that rendered them impotent.
Oh, okay. I guess that.
I did a lot of research on that. Because when I first found out about Heaven's Gate, it totally hit me by surprise. I had not been following the news, and I was at the gym, and I looked up, and they were loading they had all these body blankets.
Uh-huh. I remember
people,
that.
And they're all in identical tracksuits and Nikes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is the worst Nike commercial I have ever seen.
Yeah.
No, I remember that vividly because it was, you know, San Diego, which is so practically local for L.A.
Yeah.
So it was so bizarre and weird.
Yeah, and again, we have to look at this through the prism of a cult. And I think that's one of the most appropriate ways to see all this, because I can't explain this loyalty any other way. I guess part of it has to do with, everyone's just intimidated, like we were just saying. Everyone's concerned that the red hats are going to come after them, and there's going to be doxing, and they're going to be threatened with violence, like Mitt Romney was. He's, you turn up at CPAC, you better watch your back, because there's going to be a lot.
That is absolutely fucking insane. He's a former presidential candidate. He's going to have a Secret Service detail until he dies.
Yep.
So please, CPAC, I urge you, go at Mitt Romney. It'll be like a bug hitting a bug zapper.
Well, meanwhile, any time now, Governor Cuomo should be meeting in the White House with Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump set up this meeting with a tweet in which he says, I'm seeing Governor Cuomo today at the White House. He must understand that national security far exceeds politics. New York must stop all of its unnecessary lawsuits and harassment, start cleaning itself up and lowering taxes, build relationships, but don't bring Fredo.
Who's Fredo in this? His son?
No, CNN.
He said Fredo?
There's like a half.
Chris Cuomo. Yeah, oh, I see.
There's like a half dozen Cuomos, and he's referring to the Cuomo that happens to be on CNN. So that's Fredo, the CNN Cuomo. But what he's doing is
he's threatening.
It sounds like he's threatening him. It sounds like this is going to be an extortion threat. That's going to happen in the White House. You better drop those goddamn lawsuits and harassment of, you know, all of these very fine people in the Trump administration, including me, or else, you know, I'm going to X, Y, and Z. Who knows? You know, I'm going to sic the red hats on you, and you're going to be doxxed by 4chan trolls or whatever the hell the punishment is, whatever Trump's punishment du jour happens to be. That's what he's going to do. Meanwhile, and I've been saving all of the stuff with Bill Barr for the next segment, but I want to mention this before we take a short break. A former wrestler has stepped forward and said Jim Jordan asked him to stay quiet. So Jim Jordan extending his intimidation of former wrestlers at Ohio State. Former captain of the Ohio State wrestling team on Tuesday testified before Ohio's legislature under oath that Jim Jordan asked him in 2018 to deny allegations that abuse by a former team doctor was widely known within the program. Adam DeSabato, he's a Paisan, A member of the Ohio State wrestling program in the late 80s and early 90s made the allegations amid a public hearing on legislation that would allow victims of former athletic department Dr. Richard Strauss to waive the statute of limitations and sue the university for damages. An investigation found that Strauss abused at least 177 young men at the school's facilities between 1979.
Wait, and they're making them sign non-legal action waivers so they can't sue the university for being molested?
This legislation would waive the statute of limitations. That's what it seems like here. So there is a statute of limitations.
So, but this would waive it so that they could continue. They could sue now, even though yes. it's passed the statute.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
New York has done that recently with rape cases and other things. New York State has done it, but it was only for like a year.
I think it's a good thing if it actually passes.
Me too.
And Ohio is becoming a little more sketchy these days in terms of where it is politically. So I'm not sure where this is going to land. But obviously, Jim Jordan's trying his own little bit of intimidation and threatening his you know, his victims and so on. So that's I don't know.
How old is Sabato now?
What's that? How old is Sabato? I guess if he was
a wrestler in the late 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s. Probably around my age. Probably around.
Yeah, he's probably in his 50s.
Yeah, yeah. Late 40s, early 50s. Probably somewhere in there. Okay, so meanwhile, let's talk about this right now because we've got Valentine's Day. That is tomorrow. That is Friday, Valentine's Day. Is it Friday? Am I getting it right?
Yeah.
Or is it Valentine's
Tomorrow's
Day is
Friday.
Tomorrow. And okay. You know tomorrow. What? I better figure that out.
Yeah, you better.
Because I could get in trouble.
Because you live with a woman who's almost as tall as you are.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
She could take you. She could totally take you.
You know, in a fight, my money's on Kimberly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I have, you know what? Occasionally, I will try to tickle her, but there's
don't do that.
A gigantic mistake because she grabs my hand with her hand, and it's like
flips you across the room.
She's like, she's just crushing my hand. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. It's, you know, it's like she's got like superhuman strength, like being my hands caught in a vice grip of some sort. But no,
Lady Terminator,
and describing her this way is just not helping at all. This is
not
digging me out of forgetting what day Valentine's Day is. But imagine this Valentine's Day story is all about you. You're parked outside the restaurant. You're meeting your date in just about 10 minutes. And you glance in the mirror. Yeah, you see these large under eye bags and wrinkles around your eyes. So you rummage through your bag thinking, where the hell's your secret weapon? And there it is staring back at you. Thank God you've got your Plexiderm there in the car. So you apply the clear serum under your eyes. And then boom, 2 minutes later, you start seeing the under eye bags and wrinkles disappearing right in your rear view mirror, right there in your car. Plexiderm is the clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the Valentine's Day gift you give to yourself. Go to tryplexiderm.com and use my code VOICES for 50% off a full-size bottle of Plexiderm plus an extra $10 off. That's right, 50% off plus an extra $10 off. You can also get this offer by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code VOICES. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexiderm.com today. Use the code VOICES at checkout. That's triplexiderm.com, code VOICES. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
My friend Seth Adam, brand new song right here.
How do I wander now when the rain keeps falling down?
Song called At Different Ends. Like I said, brand new. He sent it to me today. It's got that new song smell.
Smell?
I love Seth Adam.
Delicious.
Yeah. Link in the description.
Does he know what a gospel song this is? This is total gospel, whether he realizes it or not. The chords, the way they climb. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is holy music.
I'm not sure what's better, his vocals or his guitar playing. Man, it's a tough call there. Yeah. BobSeska.com. BobSeska.com.
Hang on. I'm interrupting you.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm just glad you're alive. BobSeska.com/music. If you want to submit your music, and like I say, make sure to only submit your music. Don't submit someone else's music. Thank you. I don't want to get sued. Okay, here we go.
And what I was going to say about guitars and voices is that anybody ultimately can learn to play guitar, but only God makes singers.
That, you know what? It's not far from the truth. I mean, it does. You have to have that certain zazazoo to be able to effectively play the guitar. I think, you know, you can learn it, but to make you really great, you have to have the natural talent. And I think the same goes for singing, too.
A shout out, by the way, to Chrissy Metz, who was the first who did the Diane Warren song on the Oscars the other night. On the TV show This Is Us, and she's got a hell of a voice.
Yeah. Oh, you know who else has a hell of a voice?
Cynthia
Erivo. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Talk about a revelation. She's on that new HBO show that's a
miniseries. She's so good on that.
On The Outsider. Oh my God. Yeah. She plays this private detective who happens to be on the spectrum. And in fact, I think the character in the Stephen King book, The Outsider, is a white woman. And Jason Bateman, who directed the first three episodes of the miniseries, he wanted to change the character so that he could get Cynthia Erivo specifically into the miniseries. And man, is she killing it.
She's good.
Yeah, we're going to be hearing a lot from Cynthia Erivo.
If you don't have HBO, how do you watch it?
The Outsider, well, you can buy the book. There's the book. Or I think you can get the HBO shows through Amazon Prime or something like that. I'm not sure.
Sometimes you can do it that way in maybe HBO Go app. I'm sure you can get it there.
There are ways
I'm sure you can get it.
Right. You can subscribe separately to the streaming service for HBO. Right. So there's that also. You also have that option. Okay, so let's do this. Normally we were playing the Ukraine theme from Rocky Mountain Mike, but I think this is a little bit more appropriate to the fact that David, we were saying earlier that we have our first dictator.
Oh yeah.
In the White House. Donald Trump is a dictator. Donald Trump's a tyrant. Mm-hmm. I think both of those words work. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not joking around. He is both of those things. You can also use autocrat.
Well, all he had to do really was put a potato in his pocket because he was already a dick. Now he's a dictator.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Sorry, I'll be here all week. Once I wake up.
You got a little wind shot there.
Try the melatonin. Apparently, it works like crazy.
So the fourth federal prosecutor has resigned from Roger Stone's case after the Justice Department announced that it planned to reduce its sentencing recommendation because Donald Trump has seized the Department of Justice using this, oh my God, irredeemable troll who's our attorney general. And I'm just waiting. You see, he's going to be testifying at the end of March, and I'll tell you why it's going to take this long to get Bill Barr into the Judiciary Committee on the House side in order to testify. Why is it at the end of March? Because Bill Barr doesn't want to walk into a speeding propeller right now. He wants to wait until the House Judiciary propeller slows down a little bit before he steps into it. And that's why the long wait. I'm sure that was the soonest they could convince him to show up. Because suffice to say, he could show up anytime and they could make him show up tomorrow. But, of course, then they would be in all of the legal wrangling and court cases and, you know, defying subpoenas and all of that crap. So I guess
that germane?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all of that. I mean, obviously they're waiting, but I mean, just like this would be the time to talk to him. But
yeah, I know.
But see, by the end of March, we'll have a whole other set of evidence that will have emerged about some other crime, probably.
Everything is happening so rapidly right now. And, you know, I was talking to Kimberly last night. We were trying to figure out where all this goes. And I'm wondering, because at this point, Donald Trump is chipping away at the government right now, piece by piece, in kind of a slow way. It's not, he's not going to just throw a switch and say, I have taken over. There's nothing you can do. I am the Vladimir Putin of North America, and I run the show now, and you can't get rid of me. That's not going to happen overnight. He's going to have to slowly boil the frog in order to get there.
And that's how Hitler did it.
Yeah. And I wonder if a year is enough time to do it, because he's got a year, potentially more than that, obviously. But in terms of the remainder of his first term, he's only got a year left to do this. So clearly he's got a lot of work to do to get reelected so he can finish this plan. Because I think, honest to God, I'm not looking at, you know, Hitler or Mussolini or some past despot as a model for what Donald Trump is going to do. I get the sense that Donald Trump is more of a Vladimir Putin type character who will try to create a position for himself that will allow him to stay in power. Because, I mean, even if he gets voted out of office, he's going to keep doing rallies and he may even run again in 4 years. I mean, if he loses this year, he could run again 4 years later and be potentially elected. God.
I'm going back to bed. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I need to be best, you know.
Be best.
Especially today. Okay. So Trump went off about the Justice Department prosecutors in the Oval Office yesterday. We do have a tiny Trump clip of what Trump said. The reason I'm playing this is it gives you a sense of how maniacal he has become. He's thrown the gloves off. He doesn't care what anyone says about him. He's going to do all of the things that his instincts and the brain worms are telling him to do now. He doesn't have the character nor the restraint to be able to judiciously exercise his power as president. And now that power has been augmented by the fact that he's no longer accountable to Congress and he's no longer accountable to the Justice Department, least of all the Justice Department. And so he is just off and running, doing whatever he thinks he's allowed to do, and threatening people and intimidating people and all the shit that we have heard. Remember the anonymous op-ed, and they were saying, well, you know what, we're gonna restrain him from doing all of the awful shit.
I don't think they're there anymore.
Yeah, I think that person's...
I was just going to say
that. By the wayside.
Yeah. Yeah. They're gone. They're gone. And he's doing everything he could possibly do. This gives a good impression of his attitude right now.
I don't want to say that yet, but I tell you what, people were hurt viciously and badly by these corrupt people. And I want to thank, if you look at what happened, I want to thank the Justice Department for seeing this horrible thing. And I didn't speak to him, by the way, just so you understand.
Bullshit.
They saw the horribleness of a 9-year sentence for doing nothing. You have murderers and drug addicts, they don't get 9 years. 9 years for doing something that nobody even can define what he did. Somebody said he put out a tweet, and the tweet, you based it on that. We have killers, we have murderers all over the place, nothing happens. And then they put a man in jail and destroy his life, his family, his wife, his children. 9 years in jail, it's a disgrace. In the meantime, Comey walks around making book deals. The people that launched the scam investigation, and what they did is a disgrace. And hopefully it'll be treated fairly. Everything else will be treated fairly.
Judge and jury right there. That's what Donald Trump is doing. I am now the ultimate authority on who's guilty and who's innocent in this country. What the prosecutors say, what the Department of Justice says, completely irrelevant. I say that Roger Stone has been unfairly accused, and so therefore, obviously, the pardon is just around the corner. Roger Stone will be pardoned.
Is it possible for Roger Stone? Is he not up on any state charges at all?
No, these are all federal charges.
This is all federal,
Damn it. Well, why is he making so much noise and not just pardoning him then?
I don't know.
He didn't waste any time with Arpaio.
Right.
It's the drama. He's building up drama. He's building up anticipation. Remember, stay tuned. That's his thing. Wait and see. Let's all wait and see. And he was also talking about how Roger Stone is clearly been convicted of these crimes because of a tweet. He said no one knows why Roger Stone has even been convicted, because it was maybe a tweet. I don't know. Well, you know what? Roger Stone was convicted on one count of obstruction of justice, 5 counts of false statements, 1 count of witness tampering, or as Trump said, a tweet.
Right.
Jesus Christ. But this is what a dictator sounds like. Destroying the judiciary, undermining the rule of law, and it only gets worse from here. And that's the best I can say about it. This is as good as it gets today, right now, because tomorrow is going to be worse than today. The next day after that is going to be worse than tomorrow. And it's just going to continue to spiral out of control because no one's there to restrain him anymore. The 25th Amendment is not on the table. There's no way that's going to happen. I seriously doubt Nancy Pelosi will ever bring another set of impeachment charges against Donald Trump, at least this year. I mean, maybe a second term, but not now. There's not going to be a second.
I think the House is going to just keep investigating, though, and just keep putting evidence out there into the media consciousness, you know?
Well, that's what it has to do.
If they can't get it on the legal basis, they're going to have to do it on a leak basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you hear what you need to do, Democrats, especially in the Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, get that info out there.
That's
leak like a sieve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and now that Bill Barr is Trump's personal lawyer, now overseeing every bit of information that comes across his desk, including information from Rudy Giuliani. And on top of all of that, Bill Barr has taken... That was nice.
I'm so sorry, y'all. I mean, I'm still, like, freshly awakened. And I'm just trying to get, like...
Okay, yeah, so...
I'm going to actually step away from the mic and do a massive nose blow and get a glass of water.
Okay. Sounds good.
Talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Well, in the meantime, a former DOJ counterintelligence chief, David Laufman, wrote a piece for the Washington Post, and he said, "We are now at a break glass in case of fire moment for the Justice Department." That's about right.
I feel like we were there when our freaking attorney general was found guilty of lying to Congress about meeting with Russians.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you guys don't remember little wee Jeff Sessions now that he's off in a tree baking cookies somewhere.
Right.
But, like, I mean, we were at a break glass in case of emergency the minute he had to recuse himself from anything to do with Russia. That should have been a huge red flashing light to everybody that, like, our Department of Justice is compromised. And it's only gotten worse.
Well, you know what's amazing to me is that Trump is still going around, and all his supporters, certainly on Fox News Channel, still going around calling the Russian thing a hoax, when we have Eric Trump and Donald Trump on video. There is video of saying that our money is coming from Russia, and they're still going around saying it's all a hoax. I mean, this is the through the looking glass era that we're in right now, where the video that, I mean, there is video evidence, video. I mean, we can watch him say it. We can watch his boy say it. We can see the giant gums flapping when Eric Trump says, "Art, we're okay because all of our money comes from Russia." It's on, and yet, no, it's all a big hoax. The Russia thing, Russia, Russia, Russia. Why do you guys hate the orange man? Fuck. So this guy says we're now at a break glass in case of fire moment for the Justice Department. And of course, we gotta laugh. America has to laugh, so Rocky Mountain Mike gives us this.
Roger Stone, yeah, he wants to be free. And trust his baby, leave it to me. I'm president famous, I'll get in between. Yeah, I can do something that's obscene. Maybe you can bribe Bill Barr. Yes, we'll take this thing that far. Maybe you can bribe Bill Barr, and maybe he'll spring you. Creep, 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 yeah. Creep, 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 yeah. Creep, 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 yeah. Creep, 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 yeah.
The great Rocky Mountain Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Very nice. I'm glad I stuck around for that, but really, I'll be right back.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, go blow out all your schnot. There you go. There you go. You know what? We're gonna take advantage of his schnot blowing to take a last break here. One last break, back with more show right after these words.
There it is.
Welcome to a bubble genius.
Hi, I'm trying to find a Valentine present for my boyfriend that's not too cutesy. Can you help?
I can show you sexy time.
Okay then. I'm just gonna... I thought this was Bath and Body, not...
Here is a sexy time.
Wow, edible massage oil and powder. Oh, its name is Sexy Time.
Sexy Time!
My boyfriend's gonna love this.
And sexy time for you, too.
Sexy time for me, too.
BubbleGenius.com. Sexy time.
Bob Seska!
Heart of town.
Hypnotized. I love this so much.
Nice.
This is Callie Cardamon. She's also known as CeCe Grace.
No, it's just.
Wow. And she just released this brand new EP full of jazz standards. This is On the Street Where You Live. And the album is called Jump for Joy. And I got a sneak preview of the whole EP. And you know what? Right on time. Because this made me smile the smile of all smiles. Listening to this EP from start to finish. So you can count on the other five songs from this EP to appear on the show at some point in the next coming up months, you know.
People stop and stare.
Just makes me happy. Just makes me happy. Callie Cardamon,
really well
right there.
Done, too.
Link in the description. Amazing voice, amazing singer. And just a smart idea to bring back these jazz standards. I'm really into sort of modern interpretations of older music. Obviously, I really love Young Guns, Silver Fox, the modern yacht rock band, the throwback there. Also, we have a singer-songwriter named Kaz in our rotation who does a lot of classic R&B songs, too. And so this is just, I just love all this stuff. Okay, enough about music. Let's continue on to the horror show that is the Trump administration. Okay, so as I said, Bill Barr is going to testify on March 31st. I assume what he's going to be doing is more of the same. He's going to do the penis puppet show act. Mm-hmm. We remember that from the movie.
Oh, God. Ew.
The movie Vice. I don't know if you've seen Vice yet, T-Rex, but.
I haven't, but I'm just imagining Bob Barr with a marionette with strings attached to his penis, you know, like.
Well, there's a great scene in the movie where Christian Bale, playing Dick Cheney, talks about how you know, he can get away with saying anything to anyone because he uses this completely sane and rational tone of voice. And Bill Barr is a master at that. I mean, even he's got the face down and everything, like, I'm just doing my job. I mean, you know, I've taken over
What's
the Justice Department.
What's wrong with you people? This is absolutely no big deal.
He's totally normal. We're going to go out on the White House lawn, and we're going to do a puppet show with our penises, with little wigs and googly eyes.
The president will go down to Trump Tower in New York and shoot someone. It's just fine.
And then Trump comes out and says, this is the greatest idea. We're going to do a penis puppet show on the White House lawn. Bill Barr came to the White House and said, you got to have a penis puppet show. We're going to do a puppet. I love puppets. My mom used to say, you love puppets, and I do. I love puppets. Thank you very much.
But you're the puppet.
I can
no
only...
puppet. You're the puppet.
I can only laugh to keep from crying. Oh, shit. So meanwhile, Trump withdrew Jesse Liu's nomination to be the Treasury Department's Terrorism and Financial Crimes Undersecretary because her office's handling of the Roger Stone and Michael Flynn cases. More purges happening here. The head of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, Liu, supervised the court proceedings for Trump aides and Mueller defendants, including Rick Gates, Flynn, and Stone. Liu served in the role from September 2017 until January 31. And coinciding with her departure, the U.S. attorney's... Oh, she's a woman, so, you know, that's a bonus for Trump. He gets to jab a woman in the back.
Is he going to read her text now?
Probably, yeah. Did you hear what they're doing at CPAC? They're doing dramatic reenactments of the Lisa Page, Peter Strzok texts.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. This is the serious conservative movement. This is the movement that started with William F. Buckley, and now they're going to be basically doing pornographic reenactments of these text messages between two FBI agents. And by the way, they're still FBI agents.
Yeah.
They're still...
Do not piss off people that have security clearance and can leak shit.
Yeah,
two
no shit.
You know, that happen to have a... God, it's just... Like I said, the Trump people can't let go of the Page and Strzok thing because they just can't imagine people actually having sex because they are attracted to each other and love each other.
they do not understand consensual sex. You are correct.
They're like, where does the money get exchanged? Who's got the cocaine? You know, who's marrying who for money? Like, it doesn't work to them. They don't understand the dynamic there. It's just completely alien to them.
Oh, yeah. And you know that Trump just desperately wants to have sex with Ivanka. I mean, they are the Fifth Avenue Clampets. I mean, it is kind of, it is a little bit in their DNA. I mean,
you know, but I mean, imagine what she's had to do over the years just to get money and out of him and to get him to ignore her, like lawsuits in China or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I suspect we've walked very close to the line already.
Right, right.
Sit on daddy's lap, Ivanka.
So Trump also said the military should look at disciplinary action against Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who gave testimony, of course, in the impeachment proceedings.
For some reason, I find that particularly heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe it's just because he's a twin, and so am I, you know, and there have been times when my twin has been punished for things I have done and vice versa, and mm-hmm. it's just like having to march the two of them out of the White House under escort like they've been caught embezzling or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just disgusting. That guy did exactly what he swore to do, to uphold and protect the Constitution against mm-hmm. all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Yep.
And as a result, he's getting frog marched out of the White House instead of the fucking gaseous orange shitbag that actually committed the crimes. So once again, America, yeah. you've done it. Your priorities are completely fucked. You're watching the good guys get frog marched off to jail and applauding the bad guys. So good for you.
And you've done it again, too. Gaseous orange shitbag could very easily be the title of the show. I thought it was going to be Carnival Barking Clown. So I have some choices to make in post.
You
as
do.
To
yes, you absolutely how the, have some choices.
How the all-important title of the show, which most people look at and go, why the fuck is the show called Gaseous Orange Shitbag? You know, it's just like, I think I confuse especially new listeners with the titles of the show. In case you don't know already, we take shit that we say in the show and make that the title of the show because we're so clever. Okay, so moving along here, there is still oversight happening on the Hill. I mean, the Democrats are still trying to do that. Chuck Schumer called on all 74 inspectors general to investigate retaliation against whistleblowers who report presidential misconduct. Schumer requested investigations into...
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
The Democrats are still playing by the rules. We're still hoping, you know, and the Republicans have made it very clear that they have no intention of following the rules or being fair or doing, you know, and as long as we keep bringing a paper knife to a constitutional gunfight, we're going to have, I mean, and I'm not sure what the answer is. Break the law? I don't know. But it's time to invent new procedures because the old procedures they have looked at and figured out how to get around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're operating from a rule book that's been compromised. Go ahead.
Well, along those lines, I wanted to ask both of you about this. Obviously, we've all been freaking out over this McKay Coppins piece in The Atlantic about the Trump Death Star in Rosslyn, Virginia, being run by Brad Parscale, where they're engaging in the most extensive disinformation campaign in U.S. history. That's how it's described. 3,000 data points on every voter in America that they're going to use to exploit on Facebook and other forms of social media. They're going to be attacking press and reporters, doxing even local reporters who even show the slightest sign of disloyalty to Donald Trump. I mean, this is the operation that Trump's got going on right now in his name. And the question, the really important question at the end of this piece is, how do the Democrats respond? And there are two schools of thought on this. One, in the article, they talk about this guy, Matt Osborne, who I kind of know through social media. Matt Osborne engaged in kind of a rat-fucking campaign during the Roy Moore election debacle against Doug Jones down in Alabama. There's that school of thought. It's just fight fire with fire. Go at them with disinformation, too. Screw them over the way they're screwing over. And then there's Judd Legum, who says, well, you know what? Truth is crazier than fiction. We can just take the stuff that Trump is actually doing and just weaponize that. We don't have to lie about things. We just talk about everything that is, you know, the 16,241 lies that Trump has told. We could talk about the criminal activity.
But isn't that what the media is been doing for the last 3.5 years?
Well, kind of, but the party itself, I mean, does the Democratic nominee for president, for example, set up his or her own disinformation Death Star wherever and then do the same kind of thing? So you're both
no,
a no
I don't think
that.
So
okay, yeah,
no, I mean,
no,
I think
because
that's
not the right thing to do.
Yeah,
it's to form your own Death Star that jams their Death Star.
Yeah.
Like hacks their communications and disrupts them to the point that they can't function.
Well, like what the RNC did with the 11,000 phone calls.
in a wire.
Do the same thing. Yeah. Just jam it. Don't. You don't have to do anything wrong. That's wrong, but you don't have to do anything lying or it is underhanded. You don't have to do anything.
Further pollute the information environment.
There you go. Thank you. That's better.
You're welcome.
it's like they're playing dirty. We can play dirty, but also be factual.
Within law.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm with both of you. Obviously, there's so much material to use. What Mike Bloomberg is doing, what the Lincoln Project is doing with their advertising, this is the kind of shit that the Democrats should be doing. And it's
you know what we really should do is the three of us. I mean, well, you and I are on the East Coast, Bob. We should set up shop right across the street from Brad Parscale and take pictures of everyone who comes in and goes out of the building and dox them.
Yeah.
Who is this? What are they doing there? Why are they there? What's their function to this new... what's the organization from the last election?
America
Cambridge
First.
Analytica.
Cambridge Analytica.
This is the new Cambridge Analytica. Let's see who works there.
Yeah.
You know, and who is this person? Who is this person? What are they doing? You know, and we really just need to, like, do exactly what they're saying they're going to do to us.
Oh, yeah.
Except not to journalists. We zero in on their operatives.
Yeah.
And we fucking get their operatives... home numbers and relations and everything right out there on the web. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to leak that, but you know the web. Of course, no one listens to me. We're going to like play by the rules and they're going to fucking set the house on fire again while we're trying to serve dinner.
Yeah, I know. And I know exactly where this Death Star is located. I know exactly where Roslyn, Virginia is. I can drive there blindfolded practically. It's like right on the other end of the Key Bridge across from Georgetown. So if you're in Georgetown, you just go across the Key Bridge and boom, there's Roslyn staring you right in the face. It's just a bunch of plastic palaces rising up on the horizon. You just go to one of those. I'm sure you can look it up online and find the address of the specific building. And,
Let's go there. I'll come visit. I'll come up to D.C. I've got a place to stay, and we'll just spend a week just taking pictures and, like, taking notes on who comes and goes at the Death Star.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And we'll print it, and we'll publish it, and we'll put it on Twitter, because you use Twitter, I don't, and just be like, hey, who's this person? Anybody got an ID? What's their history with the Republican Party?
Yeah.
What, you know, misinformation campaigns have they been a part of in the past? Where do they live?
Well,
you know,
yeah, and there's absolutely...
Aren't they all federal employees now?
No. I think they all work for Trump.
They all work for the campaign.
I forget what the name of the campaign organization is called, but I mean, Brad Parscale is the campaign manager. Brad Parscale is the Steve Bannon / Paul Manafort of the 2020 campaign. And go figure, when in 2016, he was the digital director of the Trump campaign. Now, the problem is the concern among Republicans with Brad Parscale is that he's so ensconced in digital. I mean, bear in mind, the first job that he had for Trump in the 2016 campaign was the guy who sold the hats online. I mean, he was basically in charge of selling merch on the website. And so he doesn't really have a lot of skills when it comes to organizing a campaign. Certainly, he's learned some things. Certainly, he's picked up some rat fucking techniques from the previous regime who ran the 2016 campaign. So he's going to be engaging in that, but there's concern among Republicans that he's not going to be able to do the finer details when it comes to campaigning state by state and so on, that he's too focused on this online operation of just spreading disinformation. Yeah, but you know what? That may be all they need in order to reelect Donald Trump. I mean, when I was first reading through this story, it jumped out at me as such a colossal problem that it made everything else small by comparison. I mean, the Democratic infighting, the other Trump campaign things, it just seemed minor compared to this megalith that is going to be injecting all of this unbelievable disinformation into Facebook timelines from coast to coast.
But every Death Star has an exhaust port. And they're really only about 2 meters wide, and that's about the size of Womp Rats, and we used to shoot those all the time back home in Beggar's Canyon.
Yes, so I know Luke Skywalker. I know Mark Hamill.
You do.
I can bring Red 5 into this battle with just probably a DM. So I don't know. But I mean, the fact is that this is, in all seriousness, this is seriously in public interest. The fact that they have, without anyone's permission, I didn't give my permission for the RNC to have my 3,000 data points. I mean, can anyone sit here and name?
Can I FOIA that?
What's that?
Can I find out what my 3,000 data points are?
You should try.
You can only find that out from Facebook. I think they will tell you what they've sold.
Yeah.
Because that's what they started to do. But don't forget that your data is out there on the Google. It's on every website you've ever shopped from.
Yep.
It's every cookie that's been collected. It's not just Facebook that sold the data. It's every website you visit, unless you're on a virtual private network, and then it slows down and it's hard to be on any website. But any website you've ever been on, it's cookies.
Yeah.
People out there with these skills, people who believe in what's right and true and just, you know, get to work. Like, figure out how we can shoot photon torpedoes into their exhaust port and blow up their Death Star. Because that is, you know, this is basically the troll factory from St. Petersburg just imported to America.
Exactly.
But we know where it is. And we, you know, there is a way, there's got to be a way, you know, that we can figure out how to tamper. Because then that's what it's going to take. It's going to figure out being proactive and learning to, you know, fight their dirty tricks as hard as we would fight legitimate ones. Because, like, it's just, to me, this is the playing field now. And the Democrats keep, like, playing by the rules, showing up, all dressed out for PE with the regulation footwear, you know, and...
I know.
The freaking Republicans are showing up with, you know, assault rifles and and Kevlar. So it's like,
Well, I'm confident that there are forces in support of the Democratic Party who are charging toward the Trump campaign right now like Braveheart. And I get the sense that that is happening. Look at all the money that Mike Bloomberg is spending. Look at the amount of energy that is on the Democratic side to unseat this maniac. And then if you combine that, I spoke about this with Eric Bollert yesterday on the interview show. We talked about Rachel Bitkofer's model for the 2020 election, in which she says, you know what, we're no longer in a paradigm where the candidate even really matters, because we're so now divided into what she sort of compares to sports franchises, where this is our team and that's their team, and it's us against them, and we want to win and they want to win. And so the elections come down to nothing more than which side has the greater momentum, which side has the greater energy behind it. And I just
see their side is trying to keep our team off the field altogether with voter suppression.
That's right. That's right.
I mean it's like we can only go so far with the sports metaphors, because the sports engenders, I mean, it's believed to engender fair play as part of its thing, you know, and this is not this. The other team is doing everything it can to stack the match.
Right, right. Well, I encourage you to look up Rachel Bitkofer's theory on this, because it kind of makes sense. It's awful, and I don't like it. I don't like the fact that we have descended to the point now where it's just our team versus your team, and rah, rah, our team, and fuck you and your team. And that's now the way things happen, because there's no nuance there. There's no opportunity to discuss and compromise and come up with some sort of rational solution. And so when everyone is entrenched, then it's World War One. It's a matter of attrition. And that is just bad news for the
you know, discourse. This is something I was talking about to a friend yesterday, who he was like, I never discuss religion or politics. And I was like, you should. We all should.
You should.
Because what we've done by never discussing religion and politics is created a whole bunch of people who don't know how to talk about religion and politics without ending up screaming at each other. And we have to learn to discuss these things like adults. We have to learn to stand by our beliefs and be assertive without being aggressive.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I got spun up online by some Bernie bros the other day, and I ended up firing off in all directions because it was infuriating. I mean, and you know, you guys know what it's like.
Yeah.
And we can't go there now. We have to remain calm. We have to stand by our principles, but we can't let the heatedness and the emotionality creep into the point that it makes us look ridiculous.
Right, right. In fact, you know, Chris Lavoie has been tweeting about this and Facebooking about this in the past 12 or 24 hours, because he's seeing the same kind of, like, longtime friends now just smacking each other in the faces with shovels. And that's just on the Democratic side. That's just among the Democratic candidates, where we're now in a point where if you like Democrat X, then you get labeled with all of the baggage that Democrat X has with him or her. And that is dangerous. I mean, there are going to be so many, I mean, scores of liberals on Twitter who are going to have to awkwardly walk back all of the horrible things they've said about candidate X or candidate Y.
And the thing is, it's like a pack of Starbucks.
Yeah.
It's like a pack of Starburst, because it's like, I like the pink Starburst. And everyone's going, you communist. You know, I like the, you know, only good capitalists like yellow Starburst. It's like they're all fucking Starburst, guys. Let's remember, they're all in the same pack together.
Yep.
Like, Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, I'm glad you did, because that's a really good point. Okay, so we've got news about the sweet meteor of death. That's coming up on the Postmodern
Show. Oh, yay!
Trump continues to funnel campaign cash to himself. We're going to be talking about that. The stupid Twitter debate of the day. T-Rex is going to especially love this one. Plus, the Republican war on tampons.
What?
Yeah. That's a thing. That's a thing.
Apparently women are addicted to them.
Addicted to tampons.
Got it. We abuse them, apparently. We're abusing tampons, and that's why they should be taxed, so that women won't buy too many of them at a time, like cigarettes.
I'm sorry, blood just came running out of my eyes.
You're going to need a tampon for that.
I ain't got to go put a tampon in either eye.
Great way to end the show. Patreon.com/BobSuskaShow or BobSuskaShow.com. Or you can just click the all caps Patreon link at BobSuska.com just beneath my face. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for supporting the show on our Patreon page. Also, T-Rex David Ferguson can be found at Patreon.com/TheT-Rex Report. We're so glad you're alive.
Yes, we are.
Jody, I have got a really good interview up right now that I want everyone to listen to with another David Ferguson, who's a British comedian who has triumphed over chronic depression and homelessness.
Yeah, perfect.
And he's on the way up, and he's wonderful. And his name is also David Ferguson.
So David Ferguson and David Ferguson talking to each other. And also Jody Hamilton from -the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com. It is the From the Bunker podcast. Find it in the comedy section on your favorite podcast platform. All right, folks, see you on the Postmortem Show. Bye-bye.